Shoreshine Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody, and welcome to our Torah tidbit for the Torah portion called Vayigash. Vayigash, which means, and he approached. It refers to the fact that at the discovery of the Egyptian lord's silver goblet in Benjamin's sack, the sons of Jacob were brought before that Egyptian lord, known as Zaphnath Paneah, but also known as Joseph. So then when it appeared that the youngest son of Jacob, Benjamin, was to be made a slave of this Egyptian, Judah, who had made himself surety for the boy, was then compelled to step forward. And so in the scripture, it is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 44, beginning in verse 18, "Then Judah came near," that is Vayigash, "he came near to him and said, O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh." So Judah acknowledges that Zaphnath Paneah has the power of life and death. And he said, "My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, We have a father and an old man and a child of his old age who is young." And he's referring to a conversation that took place in the previous Torah portion. "His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him." Now, despite the fact that Judah's history is checkered with unwise decisions, well, take for instance his choice in taking a wife, his treatment of Tamar, and of course the betrayal of Joseph. Now, in this case and at this age, he acts admirably, because when it was time for him to do so, he stepped forward. Because again, in making himself surety, he had potentially placed his life and his freedom on the line. And against all odds, at least as far as he was thinking when he made that promise, I'm sure, nevertheless, Judah found himself approaching the most powerful man in Egypt, who did hold life and death in his hand. And then after he explains the situation to Zaphnath Paneah, he then makes this statement in Genesis 44, beginning in verse 33. "Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord. And let the lad," of course he's referring to Benjamin, "and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?" And so then, Judah, the one who had not listened to the plea of his brother Joseph as he was led away into slavery, now offers himself as a slave that he might save the life of Joseph's brother, Benjamin, even as he's pleading to Joseph. Of course, this intercession is reminiscent of other occasions in the Bible when we see those who act selflessly for the sake of family and for loved ones. We consider the selfless act of Moses, who interceded on behalf of a rebellious nation in the wilderness at the foot of Mount Sinai. And he told God this in Exodus 32, verse 31. "Oh, these people have committed a great sin, and they have made for themselves a god of gold." Of course, this is following the golden calf incident. But he continues and says, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." So he intercedes on behalf of his people and puts his life in jeopardy potentially. Also, consider the words of Paul, who, by the way, was a descendant of Benjamin, who said this in Romans chapter 9, "I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, and here's why. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Messiah for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." And so Paul says, in a sense, I would sacrifice my own life on behalf of others. And all of these are examples of those who have been willing to lay down their own life for the sake of others. By the way, a trait that does not come to us humans easily, or shall we say naturally, but it is the ultimate expression of one who has come to die to himself completely And it is, moreover, what we are all called to do. That is, die to ourselves completely as we follow the Messiah. In fact, it is recorded for us in the book of Revelation that there will indeed be a remnant of believers who come to this place in their walk. And of those people, it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him," that is the adversary, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony," and this most important part, "and they did not love their lives to the death. They didn't put their interest up front. And so that sentiment brings us to the ultimate example of selflessness and willingness to lay down one's life for the sake of others, that is, the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, who, by the way, was from the tribe of Judah. And like that son of Jacob, he willingly sacrificed himself for his brothers. He made himself surety for all of Israel, including Judah and those of Joseph. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is something that is spoken of multiple times in Scripture, throughout the prophets, and this, that he would sacrifice himself for all of Israel, is even alluded to in the Gospels. In fact, in the book of John, it is recorded that Caiaphas, you know, this dastardly villain in Scripture, speaking of Yeshua, said this in John chapter 11, "Consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, John explains this. He did not say this on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he, that is Caiaphas, prophesied that Yeshua would die for the nation, and listen to this, "and not for that nation only," not just for the Jews, "but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." And so he makes himself surety for all of Israel. Paul wrote that Messiah's death was intended to bring circumcision and uncircumcision together in one body, and then that one body was then to be presented unto the Father. And so all of these themes, these scriptures, paint the picture of the one who would give himself sacrificially for the sake of everyone. Now, I find it interesting that Yeshua appeared personally to Paul, that descendant of Benjamin, and Paul then would later state that he would be willing to perish for the sake of his brethren. The same could be said when it comes to Moses. Yeshua appeared to him in the burning bush and at Mount Sinai as the angel of the Lord. And then later on, Moses would express a willingness to sacrifice himself for the sake of his countrymen. And so I bring that out to pose this question. Might it be that both of these men were willing to do this because they, like those spoken of in Revelation chapter 12, those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb, they had encountered the one who would embody this kind of devotion and love? Now, Yeshua made it clear that no one was taking his life, but that he was willingly laying it down. He tells us in John chapter 10, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." And so this is our point, ladies and gentlemen. We see that there is no greater expression of love than to lay down one's life for the sake of others. It's the ultimate demonstration of one who has learned to say no to themselves and to prefer others before themselves. Messiah went on to tell us in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Now, I want you to consider this. It is one thing to do this, that is, lay down your life for the sake of a loved one, a friend, or family member. But what about your enemies? What about doing something like this on behalf of those who hate you or those who claim that you don't even exist? Yeshua did this not only for his friends, but he did this for the sake of those kinds of people too. In that, we are told God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And while Messiah certainly was referring to himself in the previous verse, no greater love, I'm inclined to believe that he was also presenting all of his followers with a challenge, and that is to be willing to do likewise. There is no greater love than to be willing to say no to yourself for the sake of others, that they might live. And remember, only when you and I are willing to lose our lives will we find it. Judah found that to be true, and because he was selfless at this particular moment, his long-lost brother, the one who was given a throne and supreme power, was then revealed to Judah, all the rest of his brothers, and consequently all of Israel was saved because someone expressed the greatest example of devotion and love. And that's it for this time's Torah Tidbit. We thank you for joining us. Until next time, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.